is from Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let us listen for God's word. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. And the gospel reading is from Luke's gospel in chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I'm aware that this is the last sermon I will preach in the year 2020. And of course, I think all of us are especially aware of the turning of the calendar this year. And I see on social media all kinds of, expressions of delight that 2020 is soon going to be done, right? And this sense of optimism that, of course, 2021 has got to be better than 2020. And I understand all of that and share some of that, too. But I really do believe that we are all going to look back on this year of 2020 as one of the most significant that we have ever experienced. And the year, painful as it was, where the future began to take shape in profound ways. 2020, we may leave that year behind, but it will never quite leave us. It has left a mark that will last. And I think even bear some good fruit. The Bible tells us that God is a God of history, and that human history is purposeful, and that God is involved in it intimately in ways that are very subtle and very hard to see lots of the time, but that in everything God is working for our good and our transformation into Christ likeness. The word that we use in theological circles is providence, that there's a providential hand at work. And even though, again, we can't always see it or understand where it is moving, because we can only see a little, we rest assured, we trust, we operate out of a stance of hope that it's going to be okay. All is well. All is well. I love how Paul put it in what we read in Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. And it's Paul's way of saying that there aren't accidents, right? That there are accidents. There are coincidences. God doesn't disallow freedom. There's a lot of space for things to happen. But that God acts intentionally and with wisdom when the time is right, when the time is full, to initiate events of deep healing and transformation. So, when we think about providence, when we think about this year and the year to come, my word of caution is to say don't draw conclusions too tightly, right? God is at work, and hold that posture of hope and trust and curiosity as to what God is doing. But understand that God operates at a level of being and consciousness that is way beyond ours. So, I always get uncomfortable when Christians say, well, this is exactly what God is up to, and this is exactly what such and such means. When we do that, I think we inevitably distort the patterns of God's involvement with us. But I think we can, if we pay attention and frame this around our biblical tradition, can see some signs of what God is up to in our midst. And I believe that 2020, with all of its hardship and all of its disruption, came to us in the fullness of time. I think, as I've been saying for a long time, that we are in an era of great transition. From the modern to whatever we want to call this next era. A lot of people call it integral, and I like that. And that our hearts and our consciousness have been being prepared for a long time to give us courage to move into the future. And that means the courage to let go of the familiar and the comfort of what we've known for all of our lives. It takes real courage to welcome God's future. But I do believe that is what's happening, and I think that 2020 just is accelerating that happening. And I think what 2020 is asking us is to let go of our defensiveness and to adopt a posture of trust and welcoming, that the new thing that God is doing will bear much fruit. The less we fight it, the better for us. And the letting go part is letting go of our familiar ways of trying to live in the world. So we've been taught in the modern era to privilege the head And the head is a beautiful thing. The intellect is a beautiful thing, but we've lost balance. We need to welcome the wisdom of our other centers, namely the heart and the body, and to bring them into balance with our minds. So as we, you know, the first thing we want to do is to, you know, create this master plan. This is how we're going to create this new future. But we need to lose that, because if we're still in that frame out of balance, we will just simply recreate some version of what we now have. And in order for us to welcome and co-create with God something that is genuinely new, means that we have to become new ourselves. And I would suggest that one way to think about that is to practice in the new year, bringing your awareness into balance, your head, your heart, your body. Practice this stance of trusting, letting go, paying attention to synchronicities and coincidences as parts of the way that God is speaking to us. And to become a little bit more comfortable with living with the unknown. Living with the unknown. We don't know. And isn't this the way that God has always worked? The Bible says, God says, "Behold, I make all things new." The Bible doesn't say, "You guys figure it out and make it new." It says, "Behold, I make things new." And the message to Mary and to Joseph and through all the stories of the Bible was, don't be afraid. Trust me, I am with you. Listen to me, follow, and I will lead you through. And that's hard for us modern people to hear sometimes, because we like to be in control. We want to be masters, not servants. We want to write the script, not to follow the script. And the transition that we are in is going to take a lot of letting go. A lot of what yoga masters call bringing new mind to the moment, living with unknowing. So, you know, just recognize those parts in us which don't like to let go, which don't want genuine change, and see how there's a part in all of us that resists the new thing that God is always up to. So Mary and Joseph were aware that their life had been changed, right? They had this miraculous birth, and it took a lot of communication from angels to say, "Trust me, go with this. This is good. This is from God." And so they, when Jesus was 8 days old, they go to the temple as the law prescribed to dedicate Jesus. And there they hear these two prophets, Simeon and Anna, who say that this is the promised one. This is the Messiah. And Simeon says this is a fulfillment of prophecy for the house of Israel, but it's also going to be a light to the Gentiles, so that this fulfills expectations, but it also goes beyond whatever expectations people had. In Jesus, God was doing an extraordinarily new thing. But then there's also some foreboding, and that's what really leapt out at me, where Simeon says that this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. So let's just understand that the Bible consistently says that there's a part of us that resists the intervention of God. And, you know, most people will pray, "God, come and deliver us. Deliver us from COVID. You know, deliver us from hardship," whatever it is. And that's a good instinct to have. But we also need to look at that part of us that resists when God does show up with an agenda, because when God shows up, it means change. And particularly when we feel like we're in control, or when we feel like we're running the show and we're in power, there's a part of us that feels the threat of God's showing up. And what this story tells us, what Simeon says, is that God, when God shows up, it's not just to clean up the messes in the external realm of the human enterprise, like getting rid of Rome or getting rid of COVID or whatever the case might be. But there's also an internal implication here. God's coming to clean up and to reveal all the clutter that resides within the human heart and soul. It's an inside job as well as an outside job. And, you know, again, there's just a part of us who says, God, you're welcome into the picture, but, you know, there's little areas of my life that I want to keep to myself, or, you know, here I surrender, you know, parts of myself to you, God, but there's some areas that I just, you know, really trust me, this is, I could do a better job. And it's just to recognize that and to keep practicing this deep and total surrender, which is really at the heart of any providential workings of God in and among us. So a long time ago, I decided to give up doing any crystal ball gazing and predicting. I used to think I could read, the times pretty well and come up with some idea of what's going to happen next. And the recent past has disabused me of any illusion I had about that. I know nothing. I have no idea what's going to happen in 2021. But there are four things when I was thinking about it. I'm going to end here briefly. Just four, little fundamental things that I think, as I thought about 2020, that this past year is trying to say to us. And I'll just share briefly these four points. And the first one is just that this modern myth that we've had, that we are the masters of our own destiny, that we can dominate nature and get it to do our bidding, is a profound illusion of the modern myth. And we need to let that go. I think 2020 is just saying that to us in a more powerful way. And it's an illusion because it's based on this idea that somehow we are not a part of nature, that we are above it or outside of it. And if you don't see the illusion of that, right? we are nature. We are a part of it. And I think 2020 says, you know, ignore nature at your own peril. If you just keep throwing physical and spiritual toxins out into the environment, it's not, you're not beyond the impact of that. That's going to impact us in a negative way. And I think if humanity is going to survive and thrive in this century, it will be because we learn the humility to listen to nature deeply and to respect her and to respect our limits. So I just would say a word of caution as we go into 2021. Beware of that draw to get back to normal as soon as we possibly can. We need to learn a new normal, one which is much more humble and gentle and compassionate and wise. Secondly, the human addiction to dualistic thinking needs to be transcended. If we continue to polarize and separate and demonize and to defend our own stance, we're not going to make it. The posture of win-lose that we've adopted is in essence a posture of lose-lose. lose. And if we don't learn how to connect with each other in a different way, I think we're doomed. Number three, reality is not whatever we want it to be. Reality is what has brought us into being and what will remain long after we are gone. So we need to practice seeking after the truth, even when the truth leads us to conclusions that we would rather not reach. We need to let go of this idea that I can manifest whatever I want. No, we need to search after the truth wholeheartedly and allow it to speak to us messages of discipline and denial and compromise and caring. And finally, I think 2020 is saying that the spiritual dimension of the world is desperately trying to get our attention. And not to offer us easy solutions or magical powers or to make our lives easier. The spiritual dimension is that which opens us to life's depths, both its darkness and its beauty. It would not call us out of the world, but it calls us more deeply into it. And it would show us that the true nature of reality is love, a love that is willing to consciously bear suffering. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? He taught us a love willing consciously to bear suffering, to show us the true shape of what love is, what reality is. And Jesus' work is not complete until enough of us wake up to his example and take it on for ourselves, where we begin to see as he saw and to live as he lived, willing to bear the suffering which is essential for anything truly new to be born into our world. So that's some of what I think 2020 has been trying to teach us. And my prayer for the new year is that we all commit ourselves to listen, to learn, to do what is ours to do, to help bring about God's new birth in the year 2021 and in the years to come. It's my prayer and hope that this coming year will be a year of deep blessing, but also a year where we show up in ways that we haven't before, trusting in the love of God to guide us all the way, and trusting that as resistant and human as we are, that the life of Christ, the love of Christ, willing to bear suffering for the sake of God's new creation, will be incarnated through us. May it be so. Amen.